You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 14th of February 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, the world continues to crash and burn around us while our civilization crumbles, and we've got a particularly shocking but also predictable example of the crumbling of our civilization today. That actually comes from over in America, but as we know, these things aren't unique to America. They're happening all around the white world. The Biden administration continues to make bizarre recruiting decisions for top government jobs on the basis of toxic identity politics. What could this be? We've had the world's first transgender admiral that was appointed by Joe Biden some months back, and I believe here he might have actually topped that. A recent addition to President Joe Biden's motley crew of dubious hires is drag queen Sam Brinton, who was tapped last month as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy for the Department of Energy. So he is the new chap in charge of nuclear waste. And what are his qualifications for that? Well, of course, he is a drag queen. Rather than touting his qualifications for the job, Brinton, who lists his pronouns as they and them, bragged on Twitter about his unique status as the first gender-fluid person in federal government leadership. Well, I'm sure that's going to fill everyone with confidence in his ability to deal with nuclear waste. And this is the problem with this. If people have a different sexuality to everyone else, then okay. But why do they have to make that central to their identity? Why do they have to point that out as being the wonderful thing about the fact that they have a job? Why is he not talking about how good he is going to be at the job, about his qualifications in nuclear energy? All of that just pales into the background, because the most important thing is the diversity of this hire. The most important thing is the fact that he is gender fluid, which basically means that on some days he identifies as a male and on other days he identifies as a female, which of course is going to lead to confusion in social settings, and people are not going to know how they're supposed to actually refer to him. So that's hardly going to be conducive as a working atmosphere, is it? If you don't know how to refer to somebody, you're not quite sure what gender they are using for that day. And of course, then they could always say that they were misgendered and use that as leverage over people in the office or just people that they are working with. So of course, people that are working with him, her, are going to be on tenderhooks, aren't they? They're going to be very careful not to upset him, because they know that they could be accused of misgendering him and being transphobic and homophobic and all these other buzzwords, and they could end up losing their job. In a biographical statement on an LGBT website provided by Brinton, he boasted about having worn his stilettos to Congress to advise legislators about nuclear policy, and to the White House, where he advised President Obama and Michelle Obama on LGBT issues. Again, the most important thing to him is that he wears his stilettos there. He's not interested in telling people about how good he's going to be for the job, or reassuring them that he is the right man for the job. He just wants people to know that he wears stilettos. The biography continues. He shows young men and women everywhere he goes that they can be who they are and gives them courage. Once, while he was walking around Disney World in six-inch stilettos with his boyfriend, a young gay boy saw Sam with his boyfriend and started crying. He told his mother, "It's true, Mum. We can be our own princess here." Well, that really sounds truthful, doesn't it? I mean, I still don't understand how you can have young gay boys that are still being cared for by their parents, because to be gay means to be homosexual. To be homosexual means to engage in homosexual activities. It means to have homosexual sex, and homosexual sex is illegal under the age of 16, just as it is illegal under the age of 16 to have heterosexual sex. And yet we are claiming that young children now are taking identities from adult homosexual behavior. I mean, if a child takes an identity that's based upon adult homosexual behavior, surely you should be saying, well, has that child been abused? How does he know that he wishes to engage in adult homosexual behavior? I mean, this is the state that our society has fallen to. We show a blind eye to all these things, and we pretend that they don't exist, and we just say things like, oh, love is love, and people love one another, and children, they're gender fluid anyway. But kids say some boys play with girls' toys, some girls play with boys' toys. You're not interested as a kid in what gender the toys are. You're just like playing with toys. It's the adults that then project onto that the child may be the opposite gender. And it's the adults that then encourage the child to actually be gender dysphoric and not be happy in the gender that they are in. And then we have adults like this who are walking around in stilettos at Disney World. I mean, what is he doing in Disney World as an adult, for a start? And does he not think that that might be a little bit upsetting for children to see? And they might be sort of questioning whether he's a male or a female. I mean, it's going to be causing them confusion, isn't it? And of course, they will say, well, we just want to be accepted. That's why we do things like that. We want people to accept us how we are. But why do they have to do that in front of children? Why can they not just be accepted for who they are in front of adults who it wouldn't be so shocking for them to see? I mean, this guy is a drag queen, basically, and drag queen is basically they do adult cabaret. It's an adult act. So to be going around in public dressed like that is basically saying that they are performing an act that is supposed to be for adults at an adventure world that is designed for children. And then they're claiming that they inspired a young gay boy while they were there. And it's all rather concerning. And what does this have to do with nuclear energy? Not a lot. Brinton is also an active member of the Washington, D.C. chapter of a drag queen society known as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the National Pulse reported on Thursday. You know, it wasn't that long ago when people high up in the establishment used to try to set a high moral standard because they knew that people looked up to them and they wanted to set a good example so that people would follow that good example. And now we have people in the establishment that are members of societies known as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which basically means indulging in your passions. We used to deny the passions. We used to encourage people not to give in, not to indulge. And now we celebrate that and talk about it as if it is a great thing and it is a courageous thing just to give in to your passions. If you give in to your passions, then the passions will just become more inflamed. It's like pouring an oil onto a fire, expecting to put it out. It's not going to put it out. It's just going to encourage more, which is why this character has gone on from being a drag queen into what appears to be bestiality. The drag queen has referred to White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci as Daddy Fauci, and even called him a saint. It's also interesting how people on the left have really taken to coronavirus and the coronavirus restrictions, which have all basically involved state overreach, the state getting involved in the minutiae of people's lives. And the left have really supported this. And I always thought the left was sort of against the state being involved in things, but they've really gone overboard with coronavirus and the mask wearing. And we can see here that this drag queen looks up to Anthony Fauci and thinks that he's a wonderful person, calls him a saint. There are also photos on social media where he displays his fondness for pup play, a sexual role-playing game. And I think that is where people dress up as dogs in sort of kinky clothing, rubber and latex. And people may have seen at these gay pride events that men will walk around dressed up as dogs, basically. And I think that's what he's talking about here. In a 2016 interview with the LGBT-focused Metro Weekly magazine, Brinton discussed his fetish in detail. "Pup and I have what I feel is one of the most ideally perfect connections between our personal and kink life," he said. "Both of us have other partners, so we come into this space and then we come out of it, knowing the boundaries of where your kink and non-kink relationships begin and end." So he's quite clearly not monogamous here. His sexual life is basically just about gratification, as he says, about being in the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And this is the issue, why the Catholic Church and the Church traditionally has always been against homosexuality, because there is no end to it. It is basically denying the fact that sex is supposed to be about reproduction and reproducing your own kind. And homosexual sex denies that and assumes that the reason why we feel good about sex is just to make us feel good, and that we should be doing as much of that as possible. And again, that's the opposite of the way that we've always thought before in the past. We've actually concentrated our sexual energies into building civilization through celibacy. And the people that discovered the New World and the pioneers that built everything, lots of them were celibate. And the energies that were going to creating a child were sublimated and used for great inventions. Tesla was celibate. And you don't really get a celibate. You cannot have a celibate homosexual, because a homosexual is defined by the fact that he has homosexual sex. So what we have here is somebody that does not engage in monogamy and thinks that it's completely normal just to have random sex partners, to have two sex partners at the same time, which is what he's saying here, and to have one of them dress up as a puppy dog. Brinton acknowledged that others did not understand his activities. "One of the hardest things about being a handler is that I've honestly had people ask, 'Wait, you have sex with animals?'" He told Metro Weekly, "They believe it is abusive, and that it is taking advantage of someone who may not be acting up to a level of human responsibility." So I guess here, when they do this puppy dog thing, one of them pretends to be a dog owner and the other one of them pretends to be a dog. I mean, this is adults. This is somebody that is responsible for the nuclear waste of America that does this. He says, "The other misconception is that I have some really messed up background. Like, did I have some horrible childhood trauma that made me like to have sex with animals?" So, I mean, perhaps he is talking about actual sex with animals. I mean, it may be. We just don't know. I believe in Germany. There's part of Germany where it's legal to have sex with animals, and they have a brothel there where you can have sex with animals. And our civilization and our society is really going down the drain, isn't it? This is who is helping Biden run the country right now, which is, of course, in a shambles amidst record inflation, soaring crime, riots that went on last year, and ongoing border invasions at the southern border there of the United States. "People can do whatever they want in the privacy of their homes, provided it is not illegal or hurting anyone. But the fact that the kinky sex life of a high-level Department of Energy executive overshadows his qualifications is truly alarming. This is how empires crash and burn." And of course, that's the reason why he's been given the job. Nobody has said about what great qualifications he has for dealing with nuclear waste. It's all about the fact that he is a drag queen. Under Biden, we are witnessing the real-time destruction of America, economically, culturally, and socially, and we are only in year two of his reign. And of course, it's not just limited to America, it's not just limited to Joe Biden, it's everywhere in the Western world, this desire to destroy everything that we've built and to ignore everything that we have learned from the past about morality. And we have a similar thing going on over here in Britain, right at the other end of the scale. I mean, what we're talking about here in America is right at the top there with the president and who he is appointing. And the news story we have here from Britain is about our children that are at school, that are being exposed to a different variety of this. Well, maybe not even a different variety of this when you think about Drag Queen Story Hour, which is for children. But the transmania is definitely affecting the kids in the schools. Primary school staff on the Isle of Wight warned a six-year-old boy's parents that he may be deemed transphobic if he were to question another pupil wearing a dress. I mean, kids just do ask these sorts of questions. If they see something that is out of the ordinary to them, then they are quite innocently going to ask a question. If a little boy sees another little boy wearing a dress, and he knows that that was a little boy up from all intents and purposes, that he has just known this little boy, it was a friend of his, and he sees them wearing a dress, he's going to ask questions, isn't he? He's going to be confused by that. He's going to ask, are you a boy? Are you a girl? And the teachers are going to tell him, well, that's now a girl. And he's going to think, well, it's a little boy. Doesn't he have a peepee? That makes him a little boy. This is confusing. These grown-ups are not telling me the truth. I mean, that's going to be really damaging for a child, surely. And children should be encouraged to question. And if he questions, then they should give the child the answers. They should not be diagnosing him as transphobic. I mean, calling somebody transphobic really is just an ad hominem, isn't it? It's an insult that is used when people are losing a debate or they don't know how to respond to something that the other person has said, then they will be accused of a phobia. Sally and Nigel Rowe, whose sons attended a Church of England school, say they received a letter from the head teacher and chair of governors, which declared pupils could be seen as transphobic if they showed an inability to believe a transgender person is actually a, quote, real female or male. So they're basically saying that these children are going to be seen as transphobic. And this is coming from a Church of England school. This is coming from what is supposed to be the representative of Christian tradition in Britain. And this is not a Christian tradition. It says in the Old Testament that we should not wear the opposite gender's clothes. It says in the New Testament that homosexuality is a punishment for not having a sincere enough love and interest for God, basically. And yet now we have the Church of England school, which is supposed to be teaching children to be Christian, which basically entails teaching them that this sort of stuff is seen as sin by the Bible and by traditional Christianity. But of course, even if somebody is a sinner, you still have to accept them. I mean, you still have to be tolerant of people having different points of view, doing different things. And so long as the children themselves decide not to go along with that route, then they should still accept other people that do. And that was always the Church of England's teaching. But what they teach them now, they're saying, well, it's transphobic if you don't believe that they're actually female when they know that they're male. And the fact is, they will always be, biologically, they will always be the gender that they were actually born as. And all they can do is present as being a different gender. If somebody's presenting as being a different gender, then of course you're going to be polite and you're going to say, well, how do you want me to refer to you? Do you want me to refer to you as male, or do you want me to refer to you as female? And then you would just be polite. But the fact is, you don't believe that they are actually really female because you know that they're male. And what this school is doing is saying that they have to really believe this rather than just be polite for the matter of politeness and courtesy and referring to people in the way that they like to be referred to. And it's really quite sinister here that you have to really believe this. You cannot just be saying it to be polite. You have to really believe that the person has magically changed from one sex into the other. They claim the letter also added that refusing to use a transgender pupil's adopted name or gender-appropriate pronouns would be considered transphobic behaviour. Again, this is 5-6-year-old children that know somebody by one name, and they might just forget and call them by that name instead of the new one. And you've also got the problem of these gender fluid types that decide to change whether they want to be referred to as a boy or a girl, depending on what day of the week it is. I mean, that's what gender fluid means. It means that people can just change, chop and change. And of course, that's very attractive to a child because it means that they can catch everybody else out, doesn't it? They can catch them out by changing their gender that morning. The Rose pulled their children out of school in 2016 and 2017 after one of their sons came home confused that a boy in his class had become inconsistently wearing a dress and identifying as a girl. And this is this gender fluid problem. And kids like to have boundaries. They like to have things that they can get a handle on. And obviously you can't if somebody is continually changing the way they dress from being a boy to being a girl. The couple, who now homeschool both their children on the Isle of Wight, have objected to the guidance being given at their children's former school and called for a judicial review of the Department for Education's decision to provide guidelines on the issue to state schools. So this is coming from the Department of Education, coming from underneath the Tory government that claimed to be against all these woke ideas. And yet this is where it's coming from. It's coming from the establishment. They were granted permission for a judicial challenge and a hearing will take place later this year. Of course, we wish them all the best of luck with that. The Rose told the Times that the letter they received from the school was cold and did not attempt to address their concerns. Mr. Rose said, "One of the main issues we struggled with in relation to the letter was that it said that if our 6-year-old son did not recognise the other boy as a little girl or a little boy, then he would be deemed transphobic and our son had to use the correct pronouns. I don't think that a 6-year-old has the cognizant ability to work that out, especially if the child is gender fluid. And the letter also said that we as parents would be deemed to be transphobic if we did not accept that position." And of course, I mean, it's going to be really difficult for a little boy to know that what he's being told is not actually the truth, and he's grown up with somebody and they've always been a little boy and now he's being told they're a little girl and he knows they still have a peepee. I mean, he's just going to say, well, this isn't right. I mean, it's like in 1984, isn't it, where he's told that 2 + 2 = 5 and black is white, and he must say that, and until he says that, he's not going to be let out of the prison cell. And this is the torture. And we're doing the same thing to our children today. It must be really horrible being a child in this situation when you know that something is not true and the grown-ups are telling you that it is true. I mean, it's going to cause depression and all sorts. I should imagine it really frightens the children and takes their security away from them to know that the grown-ups are not telling them the truth on something as essential as this, because they know that the grown-ups can see what the truth is. So, I mean, even if the parents were to start telling this little boy, well, it really is a little girl now, I mean, that's going to destroy the relationship between the little boy and his parents, because the child is going to know that the parents are lying to them. A Department of Education spokesman said, "We recognise that issues relating to gender identity can be complex and sensitive. Schools are best placed to work with parents, pupils and public services to decide what is best for individual children and what is best for all others in the school." And why don't they just teach them to be courteous? Refer to somebody how they want to be referred to. If it's quite obvious that they are still a boy and they're claiming to be a girl, just refer to them as a girl. But you shouldn't be telling them that they have to change their thought system and believe what they know not to be true. The Judicial Review later this year will examine the Department of Education's promotion of the Cornwall School's transgender guidance, which aims to support transgender pupils. I wonder how Cornwall feels about having its good name linked with the school's transgender guidance. These guidelines, which the couple say must be replaced with something that actually protects children from partisan materials that lead them down a road of irreversible harm, state that transgender pupils should be able to wear the uniform of their true gender. And again, this is good of the parents to point this out. All of this promotion of transgenderism, it is partisan. It's not based on established science at all, that somebody can be born into the wrong body. And it's just based upon adult transgenders saying that they would have preferred it when they would have preferred it if they had been given hormone blockers when they were younger, because then they wouldn't have had so many of the male features that they find it difficult to present as female. I mean, this is the reason for it. It's because these adult transgenders say, well, it's very difficult for me to hide my Adam's apple, or it's very difficult for me to hide my square jaw. And if I'd been given hormone blockers when I was younger and I hadn't gone through puberty, then it would have been much easier for me to present myself as the opposite gender. And that's the reason for this. It's really selfish, because they're not thinking about all the kids that don't actually have that issue. There are a lot of autistic children that have been told that they're transgender. And because the guidelines say that you have to reaffirm whatever gender it is that somebody presents as, if you've got a kid that is autistic and one day they say, oh, I decided I'm going to be a little girl now or whatever, everybody has to reaffirm that. And the doctors can't say, well, actually, I think it might be autism. Well, actually, I think it might be body dysmorphia. It might be an eating disorder, might be bipolar. You're not allowed to say that. You have to reaffirm the gender. So these sort of things really need to be taken to court, and it needs to be gone through the effects of this, because they're trying to please these adult transgenders and make it easier for them while they're adults. But the unintended side effect of that is that it's damaging a lot of children who are going onto this pathway and then realize once they're a little bit older that in actual fact they didn't have gender dysphoria, and they want to go back to being the biological sex that they were born with, and they're now impotent, or they're infertile, or they look and it don't look like the gender that they were born as. I mean, they have all sorts of problems. Their bones don't have any strength to them, where they've taken the opposite sex's hormones, and they end up getting suicidal because they've made such a mess of their bodies. And this is this unintended consequence of this. And it's because people are just listening to the transgenders. They're not listening to the other voice, because they say, well, transgenders have been discriminated against, so we really have to listen to them now. And it's to the exclusion of all the other voices, like these parents. The guidelines say, provided the child is dressing in an appropriate manner for the school regulations, feels safe and supported, and the clothes they are wearing are appropriate for them, there should not be an issue. But what about the other children surrounding them? What about if it's an issue for them? What about it's confusing for them? Where children are free to choose clothing, making a transition from male to female or female to male may be harder, as the change in clothing may be more obvious. And again, they're just thinking about how difficult it is for the child presenting as a different gender rather than the other children in the class. The Rowes first publicly objected to the guidance in 2017 when they removed their second son from the school. They believe it is wrong that young children have to confront the complex issue of transgenderism, and took action after their six-year-old son came home confused as to why a boy was now a girl. It's far too complex an issue for the average child to deal with. His brother, 8, was withdrawn in 2016 over a similar incident. Mr. and Mrs. Rowe accused the school of failing to respect their right to bring up their children in accordance with their own religious values. Well, their religious values are supposed to be shared by the school. They said parents have not been consulted about the school's policies to tackle transphobic behaviour, which were introduced to comply with the 2010 Equality Act. So this is down to the government. According to the Times, the couple said that when they raised the issue, the school gave them the choice of either affirming transgenderism, which they believe is harmful, or being labelled as transphobic. I doubt very much whether they have a fear of transgenders. I suspect they care about transgenders just as much as they care about anybody else in society. They just don't want to be confusing their children. Mr. Rose said, "This is not just about boys wearing dresses. This case is about an ideology that is now embedded in schools, local authorities, and Church of England leadership, and it is causing serious long-term harm to thousands of children. We believe it is wrong to encourage very young children to embrace transgenderism. Boys are boys and girls are girls. Gender dysphoria is something we as Christians need to address with love and compassion, but not in the sphere of a primary school environment." And, I mean, the whole thing is, the word itself, it's gender dysphoria. It's not good. It's not a good place for somebody to be in, to be dysphoric about their body. We should be doing all that we can to encourage people to be happy within the bodies they have, rather than wanting to modify the body because they have some kind of dysphoria with it. And all this promotion of transgenderism is just causing a massive increase in children claiming to be transgender. The parent said, "We took this action with heavy hearts, but having seen how this issue has escalated, we feel vindicated and we believe the government must be challenged. The Cornwall guidelines must be scrapped and replaced with a policy that protects children from partisan materials that lead them down a road of irreversible harm." Well said, Mr. and Mrs. Rowe, and I wish you the best of luck with the judicial review. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.